At Domino's, we're more than pizza, so mix it up with our specialty chicken, stuffed cheesy bread, sandwiches, pastas, medium two-topping pizzas, and more for just $5.99 each, and we'll mix stand-up comedy with a robot.
Stuffed cheesy bread and my act have a lot in common. They're both super cheesy. Tough crowd.
You can also mix it up with Domino's salads, marbled cookie brownie, bread twists, and medium two-topping pizzas. Order any two or more for just $5.99 each. Two-item minimum. Bone-in wings, handmade pan pizza, and bread bowl pasta will be extra. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Okay, and welcome into another edition of the precast. Yeah, the precast on the Duly Noted podcast. Appreciate everybody for clicking on. We got a great guest today. Laura Rutledge is going to join us. I think next week we're going to do, obviously, the early one, not the late one, because it's Thanksgiving. And I think Coach Spurrier is going to join us. And then we're working hard to get Paul Feinbaum for SEC Championship Game Week. So some big guests lined up. We'll see if we can make it work. We know we'll get Laura for sure. Obviously, the Mighty Gators playing Idaho this week. Not a lot of people interested in the game itself, but it's just such a weird week in college football with so many games that don't matter. And we'll probably have one where we go, whoa, can you believe that? You know, and I'm going to get into what Florida is looking at in terms of bowls because of the college football rankings that came out Tuesday. But let's talk just a little bit about the Idaho Vandals. This is a program that really was struggling financially. I think I read a story that their gross revenues from stadium, you know, from ticket sales and any TV deals they had when they were in the Sun Belt was the lowest in college football. And so last year they went back down after, I know they came up and they played in the WAC for a couple of years. The WAC dissolved. They went to the Sun Belt and they went back down to FCS, which means they only have 63 scholarship players. I don't know how many they actually have that are going to be traveling here, but certainly, and I'm sure they'll have a few walk-ons, but that's a big advantage for Florida in this game. And nobody's expecting it to be a competitive game. They're a very Midland FCS school. I mean, it's one thing when you're playing, for example, the 48, they're ranked 48, according to one of the things I saw, 48 in the FCS. If you're playing the 48th best team in, you know, the FBS, the Division One, you'd have concerns about the game. You would wonder if you could, you know, it would be a losable game, as we like to call them. This is not really shouldn't be a losable game. Florida needs to just go out there and do the work they need to do. And you always wonder about senior day. How guys are going to perform on senior day. For a lot of guys, I don't know how many. I mean, I don't know how many juniors are going to go out. I don't know that there's going to be a ton. I think there'll be a couple. There'll be somebody that surprises you, I promise you. But whoever goes out, they're probably in their head, they're not going to go through senior day, but in their head, they're going, this is my last game in the swamp. And how that turns out. I mean, some guys play great in that situation. Some guys don't. I mean, as we know, Florida's lost two of the last three senior days, right? Because they were the FSU game, and they've lost five in a row to that. But that's for next week. Coming into the game, of course, Paul Petrino's their coach. His son, Mason Petrino's a quarterback. They are 4-6. They opened the season by losing to Fresno State 79-13. Now, Fresno State's a really good team, ranked team. But that kind of gives you an idea of where they are. They give up a lot of points. They gave up 62 to Idaho. They gave up 46 last week to Montana. They score okay, but they've given up 34.9 points a game. So you would think Florida is going to have their way with them offensively. And if I'm Dan Mullen, I'm probably going to try to pound it like if I'm speaking as if I was Dan Mullen, pound it like they did on last Saturday. But you probably want to run some plays out there. You're probably going to do some things to make your next opponent, that school out west, have to look and say, oh, look what they did here. There's going to be a little bit of that strategizing. I would think so. A little strategery. But the main thing is, just to go out and play hard. Go out and play hard. And I wrote a column for Saturday. I'm not going to give it all away, but I'll give you a little bit of it, talking about why you should go to the game. And again, as I talked about Tuesday, if you don't go, nobody's going to be mad at you. It's not going to offend me. It offends my daughter, though. I will tell you that. My daughter is such a fan, and I feel bad that I've infected her this way. Such a fan of college football. In fact, she's doing the picks with me this week, and I'll probably lose to her. And such a Florida fan that she's mad when she sits down there and the stands are, you know, not full. She wants it to be full. She went to the basketball game Wednesday night. She was ticked off. I will tell you, Wednesday night, not a great crowd there. It was a Wednesday night. It was LaSalle. I get it. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not criticizing people. I'm not criticizing when I go to regionals in baseball and there are people there. If you don't want to go, that's your call. It's your life. It's just like when I always talk about players going out early. If they want to go out early, that's their life. It's their family. Okay, it may bother me because I want him on my team next year. I don't really. That's the least important thing is that the fans want him to come back. The most important thing is he does what he thinks is right. Now, all you try to do is get those guys a lot of information, and that's what I'm doing for you guys, is giving you some information. And if you want to go, great. I think I wouldn't go if I didn't have to, but I do have to. But at the same time, my daughter would probably drag me to the game because she's going to go there to support the team. So let me take a break, and I'll come back, and I'll tell you why you should go to the game on Saturday. Not all of it, because that's my column Saturday, but why you should go see the Gators play Idaho. When we come back, we'll take a break on the GatorSports.com on the Duly Noted Podcast.
If you're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast, chances are you didn't win the Mega Million Dollar Jackpot. That's okay. Betsy Pepine. Write that down. Pepine. P-E-P-I-N-E. The top realtor in Gainesville is giving you the next best thing. 2 free tickets to this week's game in the Swamp. And a $50 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch all the games on Sunday. All you have to do is send them an email with the subject line tickets. And you're entered to win. Or call 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474. We'll make a drawing and notify the winner on Friday. No purchase necessary to win the tickets and gift card. And if you don't win this week, we'll keep you entered for the next week's drawing. Send your email to info@pepinerealty.com. P-E-P-I-N-E realty.com. The tickets are courtesy of Betsy Pepine, Gainesville's number one realtor. If you want top dollar for your home, now is an absolute great time to sell your property. Call Betsy, 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474 for a free comprehensive market analysis on what your home is worth. And good luck from Pepin Realty. Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to see the Florida Gators.
That was the loudest the stadium ever was. That was a South Carolina game that Jarvis Moss blocked the kick to end the game. I had walked over at the Gator Walk, and he came walking through, and I had touched his hand, and then he blocked it with that hand, so I was totally good luck.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit Gatorsports.com and click tickets.
All right, back with the Duly Noted Podcast, and here's one of the biggest draw to me of this game, and it's, look, all around the SEC, there's a lot of games that aren't great draws. For example, I know SEC Nation's in Athens because they haven't been to Georgia. And they got UMass. UMass, literally, the UMass team that came in here, was it 2 years ago? Was way better than the one they have now. That's how bad they've gotten. They're terrible. Just awful. Awful. So, you know, and the Citadel is playing in Alabama, and I think, gosh, who is South Carolina got? Chattanooga, I think. But they need that game to get bowl eligible. And that's, look, I would love to give you a solution, and I'm going to give you my answers to what we do in a minute. But it is a drag on college football that we have all these games so late in the year. It's okay early in the year. Nobody cares. There's always enough big games. You know, Alabama's always playing somebody. There's always like an Auburn, Washington, that if you open up with Charleston Southern or somebody, everybody's like, hey, good, get your feet wet. That's fine. But they get a lot more attention this week around the country, but especially in the SEC, where you have these rivalry games the following week. So I told you I was going to tell you why you should go to the game. And the number one draw. Here's the number one draw. And that is, it's not that it's senior day. It is senior day. These seniors are not going to go down as one of those great classes. But, you know, they've been through a lot, and I give them credit for sticking it out, especially the fifth-year guys. I think there's four of them. Morrill Stevens, Siante Lewis, Harkless. I'm trying to think of the fourth one off the top of my head. I can't. Who's the fourth one? You know who the fourth one is. Anyway, so they who signed actually with Muschamp. They signed with Muschamp and ended up going through the whole McElwain thing, then going through a year of another coach. All new, you know, assistant coaches, all new strength coaches. So they've been through a lot. The seniors that are fourth-year seniors have won 30 games so far. They've got a chance to win 33 in 4 years, which isn't bad. That's an average of 8 a year. If you win the next two, you won 32. If you win your bowl game, you win 33. It's not great. And when we look at the classes of, for example, Tebow, what did Tebow win? Well, he won 13 three times. There's 39 right there. And when they went 9 the other, so they were, I'm just doing the math at the top of my head, that's 48 wins. That's pretty darn good. The Danny Werfel teams won all those games. So they're not up to that level, but they've had to put up with a lot more. Probably they've had to put up with more than most senior classes would have to put up with. And that's fine. I think that's a reason to go and salute those guys who are going to be Gators for the rest of their lives and let them know you care. But the number one draw is you don't know, and we don't know because we haven't gotten totally straight answers on this, but freshmen are going to play in this game. Guys that you've been waiting to see, like possibly Jacob Copeland, like an Emory Jones for a nice period of time. And that, to me, would be the reason I would go. I mean, there are a lot of other things. The fact that it's going to be a perfect day. The fact that, you know, you're not missing anything at home. Believe me. Notre Dame-Syracuse is a fairly big game. Tape it. You know, it's not that big a deal. It's a big game, but it's not, you know. And I'll tell you why it's a really big game for Florida in a minute. So anyway, we have all these kind of crazy games this week. And the only solution to me, and I've talked about this before, is they need, like next year we have the two byes because of the calendar. It's ludicrous to me. In fact, it's asinine to me when I hear people say the reasons why we can't go to two byes. Two byes make so much sense. It allows you to schedule better. And, you know, if you have a bye here before a rivalry game, or maybe the answer is to move the rivalry games. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Florida and FSU playing earlier in the year. They used to. Gosh, back in the 70s, I remember that famous 71 game when Florida was 0-5 and FSU was 5-0. And Florida beat them 17-15. That was earlier in the year. Maybe that's part of the answer, that you don't necessarily finish up with all these great rivalry games. But we love that Thanksgiving weekend. And it's Mississippi, it's the Egg Bowl, and it's the Boot Bowl, and it's all this stuff that goes on. It just seems, though, that college football could come up with a better answer. I think two byes helps because it the possibility is there for you. I'd rather Alabama and Florida and teams like that had a bye this week. But you schedule it just enough so you have enough. You only need 10 good games in a college football weekend. And this is, again, where a commissioner walks in and he goes, look, all your schedules have to go through me. Every schedule that is made in Division I college football goes to me. And I'm going to look at it, and if I see a crappy penultimate weekend of the season, I'm going to send it back to you. I want to see some games that weekend. And, okay, here's the thing that cracks me up. Okay, so Alabama can't play anybody. They got Auburn next week. It's the Iron Bowl. You know about that. Florida can't play anybody. They got FSU next week. Georgia's got Georgia Tech next week. They can't play anybody this week. Bull hockey. How come there are six teams in the SEC playing SEC teams. Now, they're not the elite teams. How did we know that before the season? We didn't know that. I mean, we had an idea that Ole Miss wasn't going to be very good. But why can they play and then play another? Like, Ole Miss is playing Mississippi State next week. So I don't understand this kind of a double standard that's out there for these rivalry games. So that's what my solution is, really simple, and it's the same one I've had for a long time, and it's the one that will never happen, okay? Just like I told you on Tuesday, an 18 playoff isn't going to happen either. I've now become convinced of that. But the solution is to have a governing body of college football, not the NCAA. The NCAA is only about enforcing rules arbitrarily. That's all they are about, and running the basketball tournament. And now they run all these other events, all these other, lacrosse and all these tournaments and stuff. But they make all their money off the basketball tournament. And everything they do with football is just basically discipline. It's basically enforcing rules. College football needs a governing body. And the governing body needs a commissioner. And you would sit over it. Now, I've said this before. Nick Saban's one of the people who believes this until he gets ruled against. And then he won't be real happy with the commissioner. I volunteered for the job. I would do a fine job. And I'm old enough now. You got to be really old to be a commissioner, right? So I'm old enough now. But if you have a commissioner, he could say, look, guys, I'm just going to tell you, heads up. We are not going to have any college football Saturdays. First of all, we're going to two byes. And if you don't like it, tough. We're going to two byes. This should happen anyway. It allows you to schedule if there are hurricanes, and there are going to be more hurricanes. It allows you to reschedule things for that or any kind of disasters. And it gives the players, the student athletes, quote unquote, more downtime, more time to relax, more time to get their bodies right. But we can't start too early. Oh, wrong. College basketball goes over two semesters. You can do it. You can do it. You just don't want to. So that's one. We're going to two byes. And look, we're going to have 14 weeks where there are at least 10 games that I want to see. And I understand that some of them might not work out, and that's okay. We'll live with that, but we're not going to live with what we have, for example, this weekend. And SEC, if you want to play eight conference games, we got no problem with that. But you're going to have to schedule better in the non-conference, and you're not going to have this penultimate weekend when it's all fluff. So that's my solution, but it's one that will never happen, as we all know. All right, I did want to talk about Florida and the Bulls, and here's why. Because I talked about this Tuesday. We had conversations with different people about different things, and then the college football playoff rankings came out, and I was over there with at the Gator quarterback club, Gainesville quarterback club in Houston Nutt, and we were both studying our phones to see what it was, and Florida comes in 13, and I'm like, wow, that's good news for the Gators. And here's the reason. And it's very complicated, guys. But if you're in the top 12, your chances are real good. They're not 100% because crazy things can happen. For example, Northwestern could win the Big Ten against a one-loss Michigan. So Michigan's a two-loss team. They're still in the top 12. So now you got two teams that take up spots. And it wouldn't mean that you're automatically in. But if you're in the top 12, you have a much better chance of going to a New Year's Six Bowl. And that's big. It's important. As Dan Mullen said on the conference call Wednesday, it's huge for Florida if they can do that. So what do you need to happen? Well, you kind of want some chaos, but not too much. Like, you don't want like Alabama losing to Auburn, for example. You want it to be pretty much status quo at the top. The key team, for example, Syracuse needs to lose Notre Dame. That's important for Florida. Syracuse is 12, Florida's 13. If Syracuse loses, one would think they would drop below Florida. You'd love it if UCF lost Saturday night. I don't think that's happening. I'm hoping it's a good game just to watch. It's the only – I mean, that's where game day is. That's how bad a week it is. By the way, go read the column that who wrote it? Tom Jones wrote it? About Tampa Bay Times about UCF, oh, yeah, have your fun. Then we'll go back to the kids' table. It says a lot of the things I want to say about them, but I respect what UCF is doing. But at the same time, you know, they need to get into the reality of the world. But you need, if UCF could lose either this game or to USF, that would help because they would drop below Florida. If they lost, I mean, because they don't have a quality win. You know, if Ohio State wanted to go ahead and lose to Michigan, that I would think that would drop them below Florida. I don't think the West Virginia-Oklahoma loser drops below Florida. But if LSU got, like, knocked off in an upset by Arky, you know, might drop below. And you don't need Penn State, Texas, Iowa State to do anything crazy. Iowa State has Oklahoma State this week, right? I think that's correct. Yeah. No, Iowa State has Texas. Yeah, Iowa State needs to lose to Texas. So the bottom line here, guys, is it gives you something to watch and be interested in. But the key here is for Florida to move up. Syracuse beating Notre Dame would be the worst thing that could happen to Florida because that would mean Syracuse wouldn't be dropping out. They'd be 9-2 with one game to go. Notre Dame's not going to drop out at 10-1. And if you can get in there, there's a possibility the Fiesta Bowl. Who's happy with that? Raise your hand. Me. I know a lot of you wouldn't want to travel there, but it would be a very prestigious bowl, or the Peach Bowl, certainly. So we'll see what happens. But that is kind of a look at what the bowl situation is, which is very fluid, as I said on Tuesday. All right, we got to get a break, and we'll do that, and then we'll come back. We'll bring in Laura Rutledge from SEC Nation, and she's everywhere, man. She works so hard, and one of the nicest people in the world. In the world. And, of course, a UF grad. We'll have her on when we return on the Duly Noted podcast here at Gatorsports.com.
At Vistar, we believe in better, especially in helping build a better financial future for our members. So we've reviewed our offerings from the ground up. We've lowered or eliminated over half our fees and enhanced our already competitive rates, saving members more than $1 million this year, in addition to the millions we save them every year. If you believe that saving money is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted podcast. A great pleasure to be joined by my good friend Laura Rutledge from SEC Nation. And just about, I mean, you can't turn the TV on without seeing her. I mean, you're working way too hard, Laura. You got to work on that.
I know. You know, I probably do need to do something about it at some point. But for the time being, I'm just really thankful to have all these chances and these opportunities.
What's it been like, though, just the travel part of it? I know as a young married woman, I mean, it's got to be hard.
Yeah, you know, it's a challenge for sure. And at this point, I'm probably only home less than 24 hours a week. But it's definitely, you know, one of those things that my husband and I have figured out kind of how to maximize our time together when we do have it. And just really thankful to him for being so understanding about all of it. He also a lot of times will come with me some of the places that we go.
All right, well, I know my dad's listening to this, so you gave him a very lovely happy birthday wish on his 91st birthday, and he's still telling people about it, just so you know.
Oh, he is awesome. He is so awesome.
All right, so you guys are in Georgia this week, which, of course, I don't know where else you would go. There's not much going on. It's kind of a weird – do you think there is this is just something we're going to have to live with, these softies before the rivalry games, or is there a chance we could – get this fixed or get it changed?
Yeah, you know, I think it will get changed if at some point these teams think that they're having consequences because of it. And really right now they're not, you know, because they can kind of front load the schedule and play a lot of these games that matter more earlier on. And then, you know, like you said, kind of have one of these cupcake weekends before the rivalry weekends, which does benefit, and it almost serves in a weird way as like a bye week, like a little extra bye week. And so no one right now is really being penalized for it because it's really just this one week. But, you know, one thing I would say is it seems to be a little more prevalent in the SEC than it is in other conferences, although this week is, you know, kind of one of those weeks where you look around the college football landscape and say, who's playing anybody? There are some good games, but there's not as many. You know, Notre Dame and Syracuse is kind of the main one that comes to mind, and then of course that UCF Cincinnati game, which is interesting. It does have a lot of implications tied to it, but yeah, I don't see this. I don't see schools looking at it and saying we need to change it. And so, you know, the other thing too is a lot of times fans want an immediate change. These schedules, as you know, are done so far in advance that we wouldn't see a full change in this probably for years to come. So I am skeptical that that happens.
Yeah, I think the key is, and we will have this next year, is double bye weeks, which I think you should have anyway. I don't understand why there
are two
bye weeks for college kids who are playing sometimes 15 games, but that would help it. But one of the big stories, and I'm sure you guys are going to touch this on SEC Nation, is Nick Saban saying, yeah, of course Tua's going to play, and I don't really care what any of you guys think.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge story, and you know, a lot of people look at it, Pat, and they say, why would you play him? Why would you risk it? Well, I think it's telling in a few ways. One of them being, you know, Tua has looked injured many times in these games recently,
sure,
ever since the knee injury happened. But, and I'm not saying that the kid, you know, is faking it or something like that, but I do think this maybe shows that the injury is not as severe as we think it is. Because here's the thing, they're not playing him if he's not medically cleared to play. They're just not. You know, that wouldn't happen. If the kid is, you know, Tua sitting there saying that he's not able to play or something, then I think they probably look at it and say, okay, he's not going to play. Nick Saban knows what he's doing. You know,
yeah,
he's not going to put some kid out there, you know, and risk damaging him further. So I believe that he is healthy enough to play, and that's where you are going to see teams continually go for his knee. I mean, that's not going to change, and maybe that ends up leading to penalties on defenses that are playing Alabama. But, you know, I think the other thing that you look at against the Citadel, no offense to them, but it's just a reality, they, in my opinion, are not going to be able to pressure at all, really get pressure on Tua. The offensive line and defensive line matchup in this one is just obviously majorly overmatched. So from that standpoint, you know, yeah, play Tua for a little bit. The one thing, too, is that Jalen Hurts is not healthy.
Right.
So I think if Jalen Hurts had been healthy, we would have seen him come in relief of Tua last week. So Mac Jones should get a good bit of playing time in this one. But for Nick Saban, there's no reason to take Tua Tagovailoa out because he seemingly feels well enough to play. And if he didn't, he wouldn't be playing.
Yeah, and even though Alabama lost their left guard, starting left guard, I mean, I'm sure that the backup left guard at Alabama was not recruited
right
by the Citadel. I'm just going to go on record
exactly,
and say that.
Exactly.
So,
I think you're right.
Yeah. Hey, one of the stories that's kind of been under the radar, and maybe it's just, I mean, it's on my radar because I follow this, is that the SEC East has a real good chance of having the better record than the SEC West this year. It's 7-5 right now. There's a game this weekend and there's a game next weekend, and I like the SEC West or East chance next weekend's game, and there's a good chance they're going to go, say, 8-6 going to the championship game. This is a division that won two games just 3 years ago against the West. I mean, how big a deal is that resonating around this conference, or is it just me?
I think it's a huge deal, and I think what you point to is the coaching changes that happened last season. I think one of the reasons why we thought the West would be as dominant as they have in the last couple of years, this year too, is because we didn't know how quickly these coaching changes would take effect and really start to make a difference. But what we've seen is that all these schools, you know, Florida being one of them, and you look around the SEC East with some of the other hires, Jeremy Pruitt being another one that's really panned out, I think, in a nice way for Tennessee. These coaching hires have made a real quick difference, and it makes everybody look really smart here, you know, to be having these guys in, and Mullen and Pruitt and certainly some others as well. And I think the other thing that it does show is that there is a little bit of cannibalism going on in the
sure
SEC West, kind of amongst themselves, but either way, and that affects their record against the East because they're not as good as they could be if guys aren't healthy, et cetera, et cetera. But either way, I think what we're seeing is both sides of the SEC coming closer together in competition and talent level. Alabama's in its own category, certainly. Georgia, you know, kind of right there behind them and maybe in their own category in a way, but that gap is closing, which that was the whole point. Everyone says, you know, sometimes that coaching doesn't matter and that, you know, you could put anybody there, plug and play, just recruit well and let the players do it. I think coaching matters, and I think we've seen that really exhibited in this East versus West and potentially what it will end up being at the end of the season, the record. It could really show that coaching is very important.
Yeah, and Mighty Gators with the 2-0 record against the West, leading the way for the East, which
let's go Gators.
I know, it's amazing in itself. I'm just curious what you think about, because I was thinking about this the other day, SEC Coach of the Year. I mean, I think there are several guys you could consider. I think Kirby should be in the mix. I mean, at some point, you got to give it to Nick Saban, right? I mean, he's got the best players, but he's the one who recruited them. I think you include Stoops. I think you include Dan Mullen. Who do you think who would you vote for, and who do you think will get it?
Yeah, so I think there's many options this year, which really speaks to the strength of the conference. And I actually tweeted the other day that I'd give it to Jeremy Pruitt. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it's not a bad choice.
But look, here's the thing, Pat. They have done at Tennessee more with less than anybody else. I mean, they had some talent on that roster, but they've dealt with some injuries this year, and they really didn't have that much talent, that much depth to truly be competitive in a conference like the Southeastern Conference. So what he's done there, and it wasn't just on the football field. I mean, he had to come in and to completely change a culture. That's, to me, an exceptional coaching job. So it just depends on what you decide this award is actually about, right? So if you look at Nick Saban, you know, everyone talks about what he does to recruit, and yes, he's gotten some great players in there, but I think the other thing why, you know, maybe he has a case this year is that he had to replace so many staff members. Look at all the guys that, you know, went on to other jobs. Yeah. I mean, even just the changes at the offensive coordinator position, and he somehow stabilized that, and they've still been so dominant. So that argues there. And then for Dan Mullen, you know, it was kind of similar to Tennessee, although I would argue that Florida had more talent already on their roster than what Tennessee had. But, you know, coming in there and having to change a culture in a way, and having to, you know, just come in as a new guy and be competitive. Like you said, that SEC West record for Florida really sticks out as a shining token for them. And then certainly Kirby as well. I mean, he lost a ton of talent and has really been able to see this team bounce back after that tough loss to LSU. So there are a few guys that make the case. I would vote for Jeremy Pruitt, especially if they win out. At that point, I think it's a runaway for Pruitt. Stoops as well. I mean, he's done a great job. So there are a lot of good guys, and I think that's one of those things that makes this conference even more competitive than it has been in recent years.
Yeah, when I saw, obviously, Tennessee in Game 4 in Knoxville, I did not think that was a team going to a bowl game, I can tell you. And they still haven't qualified, but I think they'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, this game against Missouri this weekend is so incredibly crucial for them, and for both sides, really, but specifically, I think, for Tennessee, because they need to build off some of their momentum.
Yeah, and Ole Miss at Vandy. If Vandy can pull that out, that's it. The SEC East has won the season series, and that's exciting. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you work this hard. I don't know how you're everywhere. And I also don't know how you keep those egos in check with that egomaniac Tim Tebow constantly, you know, strutting his chest out. And then you got Feinbaum and Marcus. I don't know how you deal with all those guys.
It is a blast. It's an honor every Saturday to be with those guys. And, you know, I always pinch myself and think, how did I get this lucky to talk college football before an entire slate of college football games with Tim Tebow, Paul Feinbaum, and Marcus Spears? It's pretty special. And as much as sometimes I feel like I'm a kindergarten teacher scolding them to, you know, get them back in their seats and put them in timeout, it's such a fun experience every single week.
I'll tell you a quick story, because South Carolina game last year, I wanted to talk to Tebow, and you can't get through to him. And I'm joking about his ego.
Hard.
It's not his ego. He's a big deal. We all know
that. He's a
big
deal.
And so I went to Laura, and I said, Laura, here's what I need to find out from Tim. And she interviewed him and sent me all the transcriptions. So it looked like I had talked to Tebow, but
yeah,
I appreciated that. It made for a great story, because that was the game he won the Heisman 10 years ago. So
yeah, and he had some really interesting.
He did.
Like, I remember looking back at that, you know, our conversation about that interview, being like, wow, I would have never known that. So it was pretty telling.
Well, hey, Laura, we always appreciate your time. We'll be back with more of the Duly Noted Podcast. We've got to take a break right now on Gatorsports.com.
The Gators are definitely on a roll under Coach Mullen, and next year should be even better. Winning is great for the program, but not for everything. Did you know what winning also does? It creates difficulty finding hotel rooms around game day.
Oh, no.
Most hotels triple their normal rate and charge at least two nights minimum.
What?
And if the Gators really start winning, everything will be sold out way in advance.
No! No!
Have you ever thought about owning your own place in Gainesville to use for you and your friends and family on game day weekends? call Betsy Pepin, the top realtor in Gainesville and sponsor of the Duly Noted podcast at 352-226-8474. And she'll help you find that perfect place for whenever you come to Gainesville. And when you're not using the place, she'll Airbnb it and take care of all the details. Betsy makes it easy for you to enjoy game day weekends instead of paying five-star rates for a one-star motel. Own your game days next year. Call Gainesville's number one realtor, Betsy Pepin, today. 352-226-8474. 352-226-8474.
Where will we come to the time on Sprockets when we dance? No, we come to the time on the Duly Noted podcast when we look at the spreads for entertainment purposes only. And the reason we do that is just to kind of get an idea of what Vegas thinks, because I'm curious. I'm not betting. Robbie and I did have a beer bet Saturday. I gave you my lock was Mississippi State plus 24. So we pushed on that, but he bet me another beer that Alabama would shut Mississippi State out. I don't know. He knows stuff sometimes. He's not always accurate, so I owe him one on that. This week we have a bet. I'm taking Mississippi and 3 points at Vanderbilt. Is that a good bet? That, to me, is the best bet because I don't think Vandy can score with Mississippi. Okay, just to let you know, Florida is a 40-point favorite over Idaho. So you'd be crazy to bet on that game. Florida scoring 40 on anybody is, you know, I mean, I like this Florida team a lot. Okay, I like what they've accomplished. This has been a really interesting, fun year. It hasn't been everything. I mean, we are all a little spoiled. We understand that, but they're gonna at very worst go 8-4, which is what I predicted before the season. And anytime you reach what I think you should be, I'm not going to be critical of the team as a whole. But I would not bet. I would not give anybody 40 points against Florida because of the way the defense has been playing, really. And the offense is more of a grinded out, not a big play. It'll be interesting to see if they get a bunch of big plays Saturday, which is not the biggest spread. Alabama's 51.5 over the Citadel. I hate to say it, but that is not a bad bet. Just because the Citadel plays a offense that possesses the ball, and you wonder how long he is going to go with not just Tua, but a lot of those guys. I mean, when it gets comfortable, like 35-0, they may not play. Of course, their backups are pretty darn good. Notre Dame, 10.5 over Syracuse, that game in Yankee Stadium. Sounds about right. When I've watched Syracuse this year, I've been very impressed with them on offense. I think Dino Babers is a guy who's a hot item, and that's one of the things maybe we'll get into a little bit next week. There's going to be a lot of coaching movement around college football. We already know the Louisville job being open. We also know that Kansas apparently is going to hire Les Miles, it looks like, which I could give you a long diatribe on why that's a dumb move, but Kansas is known for dumb moves. Missouri is a 6-point favorite at Tennessee. And I think that's based on the fact of their offense being pretty prolific at times. But I pick Tennessee in that game. I think the Vols are the most improved from the start of the season to now of any team in this conference, which is saying a lot. West Virginia, 4.5 over Okie State. That's at Okie State. We just saw them almost beat Oklahoma going for the 2-point conversion. Then we heard Mike Gundy have a rant about snowflakes and liberalism and everything. And, you know, a guy who literally every year puts his name in the hat to get other jobs, including the Florida job, which he did, is now going to question whether kids should be transferring or not. Come on, man. And I think he transferred when he – I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I thought I read where he transferred when he was a player. Arky getting 21 at Mississippi State. It's hard to see Mississippi State scoring that many points. Ohio State's, and here's the funny thing, Ohio State's a 15-point favorite at Maryland. You know, Matt Canada's done a great job holding things together with all the crap that's going on there. And they're actually, for all that's happened there, they're not terrible. But that just kind of shows you the Ohio State, the lack of kind of love that I think most people feel for them. I mean, they're already, where are they, 10th in the college football playoff? That Purdue loss just destroyed them. So, you know, man, root for Maryland Saturday. That would help Florida as well. South Carolina, Southern Cal, 3.5-point favorite over UCLA. I cannot say enough how bad those teams are. It's amazing how bad they are. Boston College is actually favored in Tallahassee. And that says about all you need to know on that one. All right, let's go ahead and get to three things because we got to get out of here. Yeah, these things have tended to go long. I'm not going to cut it short, am I? I'm going to still be long. But those of you who have the 40-minute workout, I know you really appreciate having it the whole time, or a 40-minute drive somewhere. All right, let's do three things.
It's time for three things.
Number one, I saw this story today on ESPN.com that 10 NFL jobs could open. They included Doug Marrone at Jacksonville. I don't – no way they're firing that guy. They've had a bad year. They had a great year last year. I don't think that's happening. But that's the thing about the NFL. The NFL, it's really – I mean, you get fired in a year. You get fired in 2 years. They don't mess around. If it's not working, if you lose the locker room – and these are players, and I know this is what happened to Steve Spurrier when he was at Washington. And look, I'm not saying that was a good fit or anything like that, and I'm not saying Steve wouldn't have been successful. I don't know whether Steve would have been successful somewhere else. But you had an owner there who meddled, and you also had a bad situation with the general manager they brought in. They lied to him and told him it was going to be Bobby Bethard, and then it wasn't. But you also had players going behind his back talking to the owner. But this is what... like, you would never see that in college football. This is why college is better than the pros. College football players, the head coach is king. You may talk to your dad about it. You may talk to your girlfriend, but you're not going to the AD as a rule. There are exceptions, and saying, you know, I think I should be playing more. You're not doing that. And in the pros, that happens a lot. They go to the owner, and when the owner is the GM, like it is at Dallas, that's even worse. I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that. So would 10 really open the – I tell you, the interesting thing is you're going to hear a lot. You're going to hear some of the Lincoln Riley, no question about it. But you're also going to hear a lot of Harbaugh. And I'll be curious to see what happens if Harbaugh doesn't beat Ohio State this year. I almost said Mississippi State. If he doesn't beat Ohio State this year and he says, you know what, let me go back to the NFL. Let me give that a shot again. Because somebody will take a shot at him. There's no doubt. So, interesting. I don't think it'll be 10. I'm going to put the over-under at 7. You want to bet it over or under? All right, secondly, Gator basketball. I went to the game, obviously covered it Saturday or Wednesday night. Now they get a week off, basically, although they're leaving Monday, and they go to the Bahamas. It's a rugged trip because you got 3 games in 3 days. Of course, you're also in the Bahamas and good opponents. So, we'll see a little bit. We'll know a little bit more about them. They right now are a team that really at times looks really good and at times just looks awful. I'm a big believer in Mike White. I believe he's going to figure some things out. One thing he's got to figure out is the rotations and when to get guys into games, when to play guys. But look, everybody's playing for second anyway, aren't they? Now, I'm not talking about the SEC. I'm talking about in the country. Have you seen Duke play? It is ridiculous. Zion Williamson literally could be a first-round pick in the NFL. That's how athletic he is. He's just – I mean, they're just killing it. So, and you saw what they did to Kentucky. So I think everybody's just playing for second anyway, but I'm curious to see how they do down there. And kudos to Mike White for finishing up that class. He had 3 players, 2 5-stars and a 4-star. He is doing the recruiting that people hoped he would. And it took him a little while, you know, kind of get your feet in there. You're not having recruited at that level, and now you're seeing him do it. Andrew Nembhard this year. Some of the guys he's brought in have been really good role players. I like the way DeAndre Ballage playing this year. I like, you know, Stokes is going to be a factor this year. Certainly, I think Chase Johnson is going to help him. And then you go forward with the guys you brought in. And Keontae Johnson was really good on Wednesday night. So he's doing a heck of a job. But we're all playing for second, right? And when I say we, I mean we, the collective nation. Kansas, you're playing for second. UCLA, you're playing for second. Everybody, Kentucky, you're playing for second. Face it. Finally, on number three in our three things, wanted to send shout-outs to two people. One is the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier. Just had back surgery on Wednesday. It went really well. A lot of you have asked me, what's wrong with Steve? He's limping around. I'm like, I guess his knees are still bothering him from his knee replacement, but it was his back was killing him. So had operation, and I hope I'm not giving away anything. I'm not going to tell you where or who did it, but I'm just going to say he was in great spirits the other day, and it was great to hear that he's really happy about this. And, of course, he's getting ready to go coach down in Orlando. And then shout out to my old friend. I don't want to say old. Been a friend of mine a long time. Buddy Alexander was elected to the Florida Golf Association, FSGA, Hall of Fame. Goes in, I think, tomorrow. So certainly deserves everything he gets. One of the best people I know. So anyway, that'll do it for today's Duly Noted Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed Laura Rutledge. Again, we'll be back with you just one next week because Thanksgiving. We'll do the Tuesday podcast, the postcast. It'll be a little bit of a precast as well. And make sure you read everything in the Gainesville Sun online. We got all kinds of stuff, including our Swampcast, and we'll have one after the game as well. Until next time, I am Pat Dooley, sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun. I'm deep, I'm way back, and I am out of here.